government. We've lost a lot of faith in our world. We've lost a lot of faith, sometimes in humanity. And faith, but faith is such a central thing. We need to be full of faith. Faith in God, that is. Faith can be also called belief. It can be also called trust. But what exactly is faith? Because it seems like, you know, in our culture, it used to be we would have models for faith all around us. But today, it just seems like we don't. So it's almost like you have to go back to the basics and really understand what is faith. And of course, people are putting their faith, which we'll define in a minute, in a lot of strange places and a lot of bad people. So we need to really understand truly what is faith and what is faith in God. Now, as I said, faith has been called belief. It's been called trust. But what is it exactly? Some definitions. Number one, it's a confidence or a trust. So a confidence or a trust in a person or a thing. And for us, that thing, that person is Yeshua, is God himself, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's also a belief that is not based on proof. And this is a really key thing, because with science and all that, you know, you need proof to establish, you know, a scientific fact. We don't need that hardcore proof of God to know that he exists, and what's more, to put our faith in him. Being a follower of Yeshua requires faith. It requires faith to believe in a God that you can't see. It requires faith to believe and to follow someone that died 2,000 years ago and isn't currently reigning as a king, which is what he told us he would do and he will do. But we have to have that faith. Today I want to look at faith, specifically speaking, how faith is the basis of our righteousness before the Lord. You and I, our source of righteousness is having that faith in God. How our faith, based on no tangible proof, will be realized. We will see, finally see, what we are hoping for and not seeing when we are with the Lord forever with glorified bodies, and how we must wait in faith for that promise to be fulfilled and not lose our hope. So that's what we're talking about today. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to read the first three verses. As I said, I'm not going to be going through all the verses, but you'll get the gist of it. We'll talk through it. Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and 3. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now, there's a lot of key things in those verses there. We can't see faith. If we saw it, it wouldn't be faith just simply by definition, because faith has been also defined as believing without seeing. That's the basic common definition of faith, believing in God without seeing God. Now, that can be very hard for some of us, to have faith in a God that we can't see. How can I believe in a God if I can't see him, right? This is obviously why pagan people throughout history have fashioned gods, right? Why you have, even in cultures today and in Eastern religions today and pagan cultures throughout history, you have people making idols out of wood, out of stone, out of all these things, and they worship those idols. Because that's a God that they could see. That doesn't require any faith. We believe in the one true God who we can't see. We worship him. We believe differently. And you know, sometimes it can be hard as we go through things in life to believe, to find a God that you can't see. It usually involves you trying to first do life on your own, especially when you're a young person, you know, and I was young once. I still feel like I'm kind of young, but I'm getting older. And when you're young, especially in those teenage years, you feel like you're invincible, right? You feel like you know everything, right? And this is not a knock on teenagers. I was a teenager once. But you kind of feel like you kind of know it all. You got a handle on things. And then life comes, and you get kind of bumped around a little bit. And then your dreams that you had, all of your goals, everything that you thought would occur, maybe everybody wasn't like this, but I was like this, you think it's going to all line up, And when it doesn't line up, when you don't do life the way that you thought, when you hit a snag, when things don't go as planned, when you lose that dream job, when someone close to you dies or leaves you, when you get sick or contract a disease, when you can't cure yourself, when you can't fix this, when you can't get out of this, you know, there's a saying, you come to God then. There's a very famous saying that, you know, in wartime, when you're in the foxhole, there are no atheists in foxholes, right? Have you heard that before? When you're fighting for your life and there's artillery fire coming at you, you're not an atheist. You're crying out to God. You're crying out to a God that you can't see. But it's all about your perspective. It's all about your way of looking at life. We have to come to the end of ourselves. We have to realize that our dreams are not always going to work out, and that's okay. It's not really about our dreams anyway. It's about God's dreams for us. And it's not going to always happen, that is life, the way we think it's going to happen. But that's okay, because God has a plan. And we have to get to that point in our life, whether we're 16 years old, whether we're 36 years old, or whether we're 76 years old, or whatever, where we realize that, where we come to the end of ourselves and God begins to take over, where we realize that we're not smart enough, we're not rich enough, we're not good enough, and we can't save ourselves. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. You know, we all like to think if we're just good people, everything's going to go our way in life. That's really the mantra that the world speaks about. But the Bible tells us something differently. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, which is a quote from the Jewish Tanakh. And it says this, as it is written, no one is righteous, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. This is the reality of a sinful life. We live in a sinful world. We have fallen nature because of sin in the Garden of Eden. And so we mess up. We don't achieve everything we want to achieve. We fall short. Things happen that shouldn't happen, that are bad in our lives. And we have to understand that we are not good. Faith understands that. Faith understands that I'm not good, but He is good. Because when you have faith in God, you have faith that He is good, that He is righteous, and that He is going to take care of you. Turn to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Now, this doesn't always happen. I mean, this can happen, obviously, when everything is going great in your life. But a lot of times when we come to God, it is when things are not going great. It is when things don't go according to plan. There was a guy in the Bible that we're going to talk about now. His name was Abram. His name was changed to Abraham. And things didn't always go as he would have hoped. He found himself an old man without an heir, without any children. And back in those days, children was everything. You wanted to pass your kingdom, so to speak. You wanted to pass everything on to your children. Abraham couldn't do that. But God had told him there were great things to come. God tells him here in Genesis chapter 15, your descendants, forget just descendant, your descendants, those that come after you, those of your offspring, will be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Now, this was when Abraham and Sarah were barren. And what does the word tell us? Genesis 15, 6. And he and Abraham believed the Lord. He trusted. He had faith in God. And God, he counted it to him, to Abraham, as righteousness. It's easy to have faith when everything is going great. And you're like, wow, this is wonderful. It's hard to have faith when you're like Abraham. And you've been longing for something. And it hasn't come to pass. And try as you might, you can't. And you get to the end of yourself. And that is where faith should take over, belief or faith. And you know what? Belief or faith, scripturally, biblically, it is the sole basis for human merit or righteousness. Abraham was not counted righteous because he did everything right, because we know he didn't do everything right. Look at the Egypt scenario that he went down to Egypt. Look what, you know, he lied, he did all these things. It's not because Abraham was so virtuous. It's not because Abraham did everything right. It's not that Abraham was smart or did great things for God. The word tells us it's because he believed. It's because he had faith. And that is what made him, quote unquote, righteous before the Lord. So faith or belief is the sole basis for human merit or righteousness in this world. And as followers of Yeshua, We believe, if we put our trust in God, we put our trust in Yeshua, who is the source of salvation for us. And by belief in Yeshua, the one who came, who died and rose again, when we put our faith in him and believe that he died for our sins, we have redemption in him. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Let's turn there. In Romans, in the book of Romans, Rob Shovel talks about this idea of faith. You know, Romans is talked about a lot as a book about faith. And in Romans 10:10, we read this: "For with the heart one believes," has faith, "and is justified." That means saved. That's another way of saying saved or redeemed. "And with the mouth one confesses and is saved." So this is it. It's believing and confessing that belief. Believing and saying, "This is what I believe. This is what I'm going to stake it all on." And that is the sole justification for righteousness. And Yeshua is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Let's go there. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says this, 30 and 31. "And because of him, you are in Messiah Yeshua, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." All of those good things. Not because we're so good, it's because of Yeshua, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. "So that, as it is written, let no one who boasts boast in the Lord." You could be the most goodest, bestest person in the whole world. You could do so many things for charity. You could be an outstanding person, never say a mean word, and you still would not be righteous in and of yourself. That righteousness is because of Yeshua in us. Point number one is Yeshua makes us righteous. He is righteous, we are not. When we die to ourselves and are born again spiritually in Yeshua, now we have that righteousness that comes from Yeshua. So Yeshua makes us righteous. Now let's turn back to our passage today. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're gonna skip down now to verse 13. Now, I skipped a bunch of verses there, and those verses, just to summarize, start talking about that idea, that concept of faith, with regard to several biblical characters. If you remember, and if you've read it before, it talks about Enoch, it talks about Abel, talks about Noah, it talks about Abraham, who we just spoke about, and the text then goes on with verse 13. These biblical characters all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." Now, there's a lot in those verses there. Those biblical characters, think about Abraham, they were seeking a homeland. Now, we talk a lot about the earthly homeland of the Jewish people, right? Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Of course, it's in the news today because of fighting over that land. It's fresh in the news today with this, you know, this Simchat Torah war, the Sukkot war, Shemini Atzeret war, this war between Israel and Hamas. They're fighting over that land because the land is special. The land is important. However, there is something greater than just the land of Israel itself. There is something heavenly as opposed to earthly. We discussed this a lot when we went through Hebrews recently. These biblical characters, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, they were hoping for something greater, a better homeland that God had prepared for them and that God has prepared for us. And Abraham in particular is singled out in the Hebrews passage. I want to go back a few verses. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. We'll read verse 9 and 10. "By faith," this is Abraham now, "by faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his son and his grandson, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking," Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. This is a heavenly Jerusalem versus an earthly Jerusalem or Eretz Israel or the land of Israel. Not that it's a special land, it's not a special land and God has given it to the Jewish people, but there is something beyond, there is something heavenly that we are waiting for. Now, Abraham in his lifetime, like I told you, he was barren, he eventually had Isaac. It was an answer to prayer after many, many years. But also, he was promised this land, and you know he never received this land. He was never a proper owner of the land of Israel as God had promised to him. He lived in tents. He lived amongst all of these pagan peoples, like the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites. He was a sojourner living among pagan people. In the same way, you and I are waiting for that heavenly Jerusalem. We're waiting for that heavenly Israel. We're living as sojourners here on earth. Yes, we're citizens of our country and our residents of our state and all this. We have rights and privileges, sure. But there is a citizenship for you and I that is a heavenly citizenship, that is better than anything in the earth, that has all the full rights and privileges of being sons and daughters of God. And that is coming. Abraham knew it was coming, and he sojourned here waiting for it. We should know in faith that it's coming. And as sojourners, as temporary residents and aliens, the Bible says, we need to wait for that. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 19. Psalm 119, long psalm, but verse 19. It says here, I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. This world is not our home. As good as it is, as nice as our homes are, as wonderful the relationships and the places that we live are, it is not the final place for us. And in faith, we have to look towards that. It won't always be the case that we're sojourners, that we're aliens and temporary residents, because we're citizens of heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, the book of Ephesians. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone. It's all based on the cornerstone of Yeshua. And we have that hope in faith of that future home for us. Point number two, we have an eternal home prepared for us. We have an eternal home prepared for us. This is our promise, and it will be fulfilled. Now back to Hebrews 11. Let's go all the way to the end, Hebrews 11, 39 and 40. And all these, though commended through their faith, all of the characters that it talks about throughout the chapter of Hebrews 11, all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should now not be made perfect. This is the end of the chapter, and it's great to talk about the promise that we have. We just did. But remember, these biblical characters, in faith, they waited for the promise. But in their lifetimes, all of them, they died without seeing the promise fulfilled. We have a patience problem, I think, in our culture today, in our country. Amongst all of us, there's a patience problem. And the problem is we don't have any patience, right? That's the problem. We don't have any patience. In a world of immediate gratification, I thought about this for a couple of minutes as I was preparing, and I came up with some things. Even in just my short lifetime, how things have changed to cause me personally to have very little patience, less patience than I did before. My attention span is not what it was. In a world of immediate gratification, which we all live in now, it's hard to wait on anything, right? Fast food. I've had fast food probably, you know, since I was a kid, there's been fast food. But I'm talking about now it's fast and convenient food. Now you get the food brought right to your home. I mean, this is, so, have you ever used this DoorDash? I mean, all this stuff, it's crazy, right? I get my groceries now delivered to my house. I don't have to go to the grocery store and fight everybody in the grocery store. It's amazing how immediate everything is. I can schedule, I can say, okay, I want it by tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and it comes tomorrow at, you know, 8 o'clock-ish, right? So immediate gratification with food. Amazing. If you don't like the TV show that you're watching, used to be you had to get up, you had to go over to the channel, fix those antennas, remember the antennas? And you had to change it to the other three or whatever channels there were, and maybe you got reception, right? Now we got 400 plus channels, depending on what cable box you have or whatever dish you have or whatever thing you have. And we have this really, really, really cool thing now. It's called the DVR. Do you use your DVR? Does anybody not use their DVR? Does anybody watch a show at the time that it's scheduled on TV anymore? No, you set your DVR and you watch it whenever you want. How convenient. Immediate gratification. Does anybody remember this store called Blockbuster? No more Blockbusters. I'm very, very sad about that. I used to go to Blockbuster on a Friday night or whatever. I used to call up my wife and used to say, okay, here we go. We've got four choices and they're right here. Oh, wait a minute. Can't do that one. There's three copies of that and everybody's already rented them. So then you have to go to the next one, right? Now it's immediate gratification. I can turn on any one of these streaming platforms and get any movie I want whenever. I can stream it, I can download it, I can do whatever. The choices are endless. One more thing, because it's just going down memory lane for me. You ever have this HBO, which I know is still around? Used to be you got the HBO guide, and you could watch that show on HBO that month only, and it was only on the 12th, the 14th, and the 16th of the month. And if you missed it, forget it. Now, you may be able to record it on your VCR. Remember those? Or your Betamax. But if you didn't, you always said, oh, man, I missed it. Maybe the next time it comes around. Maybe next month when it comes out on HBO. It's amazing the immediacy that we can get anything. Let's talk about news. You can get everything and anything at your fingertips all the time. You don't have to wait for the 6 o'clock news or the 6:30 news or whatever anymore. Everything's at our fingertips, so it makes sense that we don't have patience for waiting on things. It's hard to wait. It's hard to be patient. But we have an amazing future that awaits us spiritually, and we have to have that patience. Point number three, wait for the promise to be fulfilled. We need to wait. Will we see the promise fulfilled, meaning that new Jerusalem, that glorified bodies, the redemption that comes from Yeshua returning? Will you and I see it in our lifetime, right? That's the question. The answer is maybe yes and maybe no. We like to say we're living in the last days. Are we living in the last days? Well, you can make a real good case that we are living in the last days. But I want to just give us a little bit of clarification here and perspective. When I look out today and I see Israel as a state and I see the war that's going on in Israel and I see all the darkness in the world, I can say to myself, wow, this must be the last days. Yeshua is right around the corner and he might be coming back tomorrow. He might come back tomorrow. He might come back today. But he also might come back in 200 years and we just don't know. The word says, even the Son of Man doesn't know the day or the hour. And here's the perspective from history. Every generation since Yeshua has said, we've got to be in the last days. Okay, if you study history, if you study church history, if you study the last 2,000 years, you will study that people were saying this in the late 1800s when some Jewish people started to come to the Lord. They were saying this in the 1915s and the 1920s. They were saying this during the world wars. I probably would have said this, man, Yeshua is right around the corner, if it was 1967 and all of a sudden Israel got attacked spontaneously from Arab neighbors, or 1973 when it was attacked 50 years ago by multiple Arab countries. So I would have probably said, this is it, he's coming. And you know what? He may come in 2023, he may not. The point of this is, it doesn't necessarily matter when he comes. Are we going to be full of faith? Are we going to be ready like it's coming today or tomorrow? Or it's coming even after we pass away if the Lord tarries? That's not the issue. The immediate gratification of knowing it, it's not the point. The point is to have faith that he made a promise and the promise will be fulfilled. Abraham didn't see it. Noah didn't see it. David didn't see it. Ezekiel didn't see it. We may or may not see it, but the point is, will we have faith to believe, whether it's tomorrow or the Lord tarries, that the promise will be fulfilled. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Let's go there. I love reading these verses. You can't read these verses too much. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Amen. That has definitely not happened yet, because there is mourning and crying and pain and sickness and death and problems in this world. It doesn't mean God doesn't exist. It just means he's got a timeline and it's not our timeline. And that's okay. That should be okay for us. We have to wait in faith and not lose hope. Last scripture today is from the book of Galatians. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Remember, this is the word of God. This is an admonition from the Lord. "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, if we reap, we will reap if we do not give up." It is so easy in today's world to give up when you just can't avoid all the problems in this world. It's in our face. It's on our phones. It's everywhere. But we have to be otherworldly thinking. We have to have a hope and a trust and a promise in something that we can't see on our cell phones and we can't see on TV and we can't see in front of us. It is faith in God who is unseen, but yet one day he will be seen. And that which we have hoped for will become a reality. We have a situation where we have sickness, everybody is born, everybody dies, but one day there will be no death. We will have glorified bodies. Followers of Yeshua, friends, mishpacha, family, don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up in this world, because if we are faithful, he will be faithful to us. He will fulfill his promises, but we need to be full of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you because you give us the instruction, you give us your word, and your word, Lord, is to not give up and trust and believe and have faith. Lord, I know many people are kind of running on empty with the faith meter. But Lord, I pray supernaturally that you would break through today and open up streams of faith, streams of joy. There's so much to be down about. But Lord, let us have that joy that comes from you. Let us have that peace that passes all understanding. Let us have that hope and that trust and that faith that is not as the world gives, because the world will always let us down, Lord, but we trust and have faith in you who will never leave us or forsake us or let us down, Lord. I pray that today that we are recharged with faith. Faith not only in you, Lord God, but in each other, because sometimes we disappoint each other, Lord. We disappoint you and we disappoint each other. But spur us on, Lord God, to have faith, to trust you, to believe in you, to acknowledge you as our King when things are going great, but acknowledging you as our King when things aren't going great. To remember Abraham when he couldn't see it, when you tarried, Lord, yet you eventually fulfilled the promises, and you will continue to fulfill all of your promises. We thank you and praise you, Lord. We trust you today, and we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor on this day and every day that we have breath. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen.